We turn once again to Judges chapter 18. If you were here last week, you will recognize that Judges chapter 18 is connected to Judges chapter 17. They are both held together by the common features of Micah's idols and Micah's Levitic priest. This morning we want to look at chapter 18, and by looking at it in the examination of the two protagonists in this chapter. First, there are the Danites, that is, the people of the tribe of Dan. And secondly, the Levite, who was established as priest by Micah. We begin with the Danites, and we see in verse 1 that they were a restless people. And they were restless because they were landless. In those days, we are told in verse 1, there was no king in Israel. And in those days, the tribe of the Danites were seeking an inheritance for itself to dwell in. For until that day, their whole inheritance among the tribes had not yet fallen to them. And because they were landless, because they were homeless, they were restless, looking for land, looking for a home. And therefore, in verse 2, the children of Dan sent 5 men of their family from their territory, men of valor from Zorah and Eshtaol, to spy out the land and search it. And they said to them, "Go, search the land." So they went to the mountains of Ephraim, to the house of Micah, and lodged there. The Danites were restless because they were landless. But why were they landless? Judges chapter 1 reminds us that they were landless and they were restless because they were faithless. They refused to exercise their faith. They refused to be obedient to the word of God. They refused to believe the promises of God. The book of Joshua tells us that before his death, Joshua had allotted the inheritance for every tribe of the children of Israel. And part of that allotment was given to the children of Dan. But in Judges chapter 1, after the death of Joshua, the children of Dan are intimidated by the inhabitants of Canaan. And so terrified they are of these enemies that they refuse to go out into war against them. They refuse to conquer their enemies. And Judges chapter 1 tells us also that when the Danites and the others became stronger than their enemies, they preferred to treat their enemies as their slaves instead of driving them out of the land of promise. The children of Dan were therefore restless. Restless because they were landless. Landless because they were faithless. They refused to believe that God would help them in their conquest. And because they failed to believe, they were a restless people. And what was true of the children of Dan is true for us too, that our hearts are restless until we find our rest in God and Jesus Christ, His Son. And we are restless Because we refuse to rest on the Word of God and the substitute whom God has provided for our sins, that is, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Danites were a restless people, but we see also that they were an alienated people. They were separated. And we see in verse 5 that they are separated from God. For they come to Micah and to Micah's Levitic priest, and they say to him, "Please inquire of God that we may know whether the journey on which we go will be prosperous." Notice that they do not use the covenant name of God. They do not call him Jehovah. But when the Levite answers in verse 6, he says, "Go in peace. May the presence of Jehovah be with you on your way." In fact, in all of chapter 18, the Danites never use the covenant name of the covenant God. They were alienated from God, separated from God. And you remember how the writer to the Hebrews puts it? "For without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he or she who comes to God must believe that God is, and that he is a rewarder of everyone who diligently seeks after him." The people of Dan had no faith, and so they were separated from fellowship with God. But the problem with alienation from God is that it always also alienates us from each other. And this is what we see from verses 14 to 26, when the men of Dan go into Micah's house, and they remove the ephod, the household idols, a carved image and a molded image. They take it away from Micah's house, and they take away from Micah the Levite, the priest, who he has established for himself. The Danites are stealing from one of the children of Israel. But is it not a solemn thought to recognize also that Micah had once stolen from his mother? Now others were coming to steal from him. There is a God in heaven, and so there is always divine justice. Micah steals from his mother. God, in his judgment, brings the swordsmen of the Danites to plunder the house of Micah. So they are alienated from God. They are alienated from their fellow children of Israel. And in verses 27 to 29, we are told that the children of Dan are alienated from all their other neighbors as well. They go to this place that is called Laish. They destroy its people and its wall. And then in verse 28, they try to rebuild it. The Danites are a restless people without faith. They are alienated from God, and therefore alienated from each other and alienated from other human beings too. And that's what sin always does to us. It not only makes us and keeps us restless, it alienates us from God and it alienates us from each other. That's then the story from the Danites' perspective. But secondly, let's look at the Levite. This man, you will remember, had come from Bethlehem in Judah. He was lodging in the house of Micah. Micah recognizes him as belonging to the tribe of Levi, and he consecrates this man as his own priest in his own household. Now the Danites come, and they inquire of him of God. This man, it seems to me, was tremendously ambitious. He had a desire for success. He wanted to be successful. And successful is what he becomes. Because in verses 5 and 6 we see that his religion, or at least his form of idolatrous religion, is growing. Verse 5, they come to him, the Danites, and say, "Please inquire of God that we may know whether the journey on which we go will be prosperous." This man's religion was once attractive to Micah. Now we see that his religion is actually growing. It is not just attractive to Micah and to Micah's neighbors. It is the envy of the people of Dan. It is the envy of the army of the Danites too. His religion is growing. And in verse 6, his prophecy seems to come true. And the priest said to them, "Go in peace. May the presence of the Lord be with you on your way." And the rest of the chapter tells us that the men of the Danites went on their way and they were successful in their capture of Laish. The Levite's religion is growing. His message appears to be true. And he himself is promoted. Verse 20, we are told that when he is offered a higher and a more powerful position, the priest's heart was glad. His salary was probably increasing, and his power was going to increase. And then in verse 19, we see that his influence was also growing. They say to him, "Is it better for you to be a priest to the household of one man, or that you be a priest to a tribe and a family in Israel?" At every level, this man appears to be successful. His form of religion is growing. His words or his message appear to be true. He himself gains a promotion. His influence grows, and in verse 30, his legacy is historical. Then the children of Dan set up for themselves the carved image, and Jonathan the son of Gershom, the son of Manasseh, and his sons were priests to the tribe of Dan until the day of the captivity of the land. And that seems to suggest that the religion of this Levite priest remained in Israel for about 500 years. In fact, the idolatry kept growing and growing and growing until the time of King Jeroboam. Dan became the center of idolatry and of idol worship. So this man, this Levite priest, was not just a passerby. He was a man who left his mark upon history. For 500 years after him, his religion continued to grow and to enthrall the children of Dan and of Israel. And so by these standards, this man was enormously successful. But the inspired writer is not so sure. You notice he begins chapter 18 with these ominous words. In those days, there was no king in Israel. He begins this chapter with those words because he wants us to know that all that is happening in these verses is not for good, but for evil. And then in verse 31 he says, "So they set up for themselves Micah's carved image, which he made all the time that the house of God was in Shiloh." In other words, this man's religion was taking people away from the house of God, and it was taking people away from God himself. This man was successful in his own eyes. He was successful in the eyes of the Danites, but he was an abject failure in the eyes of the living God, because he did that which was right in his own eyes and in the eyes of the people around him. But it was not right in the eyes of the living and the true God. And is that not a solemn warning to me and to you also? Because deep within us, there is an enormous desire to be successful, to make a name for ourselves, to get on in life, to make progress, to develop ourselves, and to attain to the best of our ability. And so we gain our promotions, our influence grows, our power increases, and perhaps we are even able to leave behind a legacy after us. But it is possible, is it not, to be successful in our own eyes, in the eyes of other people, and yet a failure before God? You see, it all depends on which eyes or whose eyes matter. Whose eyes do you and do I live for? Whose eyes matter to us? Is it our own eyes? Is it the eyes of our families? Is it the eyes of our community and our society? Is it the eyes of our own culture? All these eyes will ultimately defeat us and deceive us. The only eyes that matter in the universe is the God before whose throne of judgment you and I will one day have to stand. And so it was that this religion was growing all the time that the house of God was in Shiloh. And that means for each one of us, we need to bring every area of our life under the scrutiny of God's Word and the Lordship of Jesus Christ. We need to examine every relationship in our lives and ask ourselves honestly before God as our witness, does this relationship take me towards Jesus Christ, or does it take me away from Jesus Christ? If any relationship takes me away from Jesus Christ, that relationship is an idol to me. And so we have to look at our work and our choice of career and ask ourselves, this work, this career, will it take me towards God, or will it take me away from God? Will it enable me to worship God in his house on his own day, or will it keep me from the cords of Zion? And so the choices we make, the decisions we take in our lives, we always have to bring them before God. Will it take us to Dan, or will it keep us at Shiloh? Will it take us to God, or will it lead us away from God? But why do we say that it all has to be subject to the Lordship of Jesus Christ? Well, you notice in verse 31 it says, "So they set up for themselves Micah's carved image which he made all the time that the house of God was in Shiloh." You see, in the Old Testament, Shiloh was a place. But the messianic prophecy was that Shiloh was not always going to be a place. It was finally going to be a person. And in the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, there came Shiloh. God tabernacled in the midst of his people. God dwelt with his own, and God came to meet with his people. That's why Jesus Christ is the ultimate test of the obedience of your heart and of mine, and of your life and of mine. This man was ambitious. He wanted to be successful. He ended up a failure. The children of Dan were restless because they were faithless. They were alienated from God and from each other. And as far as I can see, the tragedy of Judges chapter 18 is that both these people were defeated and consumed by their idolatry. That's why we read a little earlier from Revelation chapter 7. Did you notice when the Apostle John looks into heaven and he looks at the throne room of God in heaven, he sees the 12 tribes of Israel and he sees the 12 apostles of the New Testament church. But did you notice in the list of the names of the tribes of Israel, the name of Dan is missing? Dan and his family are not in heaven. And it is quite astonishing that Dan and the Danites were the first people of Israel to experience the judgment of God, to go away into exile. And after the exile, the Bible does not speak of the tribe of Dan anymore. And when the seer begins to catch a glimpse of heaven in its glory, he sees that the Danites are missing. Children of Abraham, children of Isaac and of Jacob, and yet excluded from heaven. That's why it is commonly said that God has no grandchildren. You and I do not become Christians simply because our parents were Christians. You and I have to appropriate the truth of God for ourselves. And we have to exercise our own faith. And we have to rest upon Jesus Christ and Him crucified. As somebody else put it, and it describes this church as well as it describes any other church, the first generation receives and rests on the gospel. The second generation assumes the gospel. The third generation squanders the gospel. In just three generations, the gospel is lost from the church. It is the grace of God that the fire of truth and the flame of the knowledge of truth is kept burning in any church. That's why I've said to you so many times before, and I say it once again before God, that over these years we have lived through some of the best times in the history of Stornoway Reformed Presbyterian Church of Scotland. What happened to the Levite? Well, you know, he began at the very center of God's will, in Bethlehem of Judah, where David was to be born and where the Messiah was to be given. From Bethlehem in Judah, he moved to the mountains of Ephraim until finally, with the Danites, he ended outside the land of promise. He wasn't even in the promised land. He ended up outside the promised land. And so my prayer for myself, as well as for you, is that you and I will have just this one desire: to be faithful in the eyes of the living and the true God, and not to be successful in our own eyes or in the eyes of our fellow human beings. Solomon put it this way: remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Obey God and keep his commandments, for this is the duty, the whole duty of man. May God bless his word to our hearts. We conclude by singing from Psalm 16. Psalm 16, and we are singing verses 6 to 9. Psalm 16. Unto me happily the lions in pleasant places fell, yea, their inheritance I got, in beauty doth excel. I bless the Lord because he doth by counsel me conduct, and in the seasons of the night my reins to me instruct. Before me still the Lord I said, sith it is so that he doth ever stand at my right hand, I shall not move it be. Because of this my heart is glad, and joy shall be expressed, even by my glory and my flesh in confidence shall rest. Psalm 16, verses 6 to 9, and we stand to sing to God's praise.
Unto me
of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, our Heavenly Father, and the fellowship of the Blessed Holy Spirit, rest upon you and abide with you all, now and until Jesus comes. Amen.